I talked to you last Sunday, first Sunday of the year, about how to reach God and get an answer. How many put any of that to use this week? Anything? Some of it? Kind of? I think if you were really focused on some of those things, and if you wasn't here, I'm sure it's available on the internet to go back and listen. But we really need to hear from God today. And if you are a person that is struggling and worn out with the world, which the world can come at you in all different ways, God has answers. I love when He tells me that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. And I know what's in the world, and I know who's the God of this world. And I think sometimes we as Christians forget who's running the show when it comes to this world. And we shouldn't be surprised what's going on in the world, because the God of this world is having a heyday today. But we are not of this world, God reminds us of. We're from another place, and we're dwelling here, and we're living here, and God's asked us to be a witness and an example. And sometimes it's at our weakest spots in life that we can be the strongest witness. So in John 14, Jesus talks to His disciples. I'm going to read you some verses from 14, 15, and 16 today. I think we might even get one from 17 before we're done. But this is about 12 hours before Jesus is put to the cross. This is chapter 14. He's still in the upper room. He's fixing to leave the upper room and make his way to the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives, where he would pray a prayer and then he would be arrested and taken back to Jerusalem. So Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's in an upper room in a specific place there. He will soon leave. They'll walk down a path through the valley and back over to the Mount of Olives, where He'll pray, and then He'll be led back to be tried and crucified. So this is those 12 hours of Jesus' life. John records what no other writers recorded. We get bits and pieces from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But John almost gives us a hour-by-hour, scene-by-scene picture from chapter 13 through chapter 20 of the last few hours, the death, the resurrection. So in John 14, Jesus says this in verse 16, or verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. If you look at the translation, I will pray. Jesus really says, I will ask the Father. And He shall give you another comforter. The word another means one like the same. So, we'll talk about that in just a second. He said, I will send you another comforter. Let me ask you a question. Who do you think the disciples' comforter was then? How do we know that? Because every time anything happens, right? When they were in a storm, Jesus stood on the bow of the ship and He said what? Peace be still. And their fears were taken away and they were comforted, right? I was thinking of the word comforter. If you look at other translations, they use the word helper. But the word comforter is a word that's very familiar in our vocabulary today. And I'm thinking back in my life to probably the year that we built our first new home. And Rochelle and I started in a trailer, not a modular home, but it was really a trailer. I mean, it was a trailer. The walls were paper thin, it had paneling on them, and it was a trailer, okay? So when we bought when we built our first house, we had another house after that, but then we built a new one. We started putting better furniture in this new home. And I remember when Shell came in, was decorating the bedrooms, she brought this big old thick plush bedspread, I call it. And she had that on the bed. I mean, it was that thick. Just real, you know what I'm talking about? Pretty. And I got ready to go to bed that night. That was folded up and put in another place. And she said, no, that's a comforter. And apparently there's a difference in a comforter and a bedspread. And if you look it up in a dictionary, there is definitely a difference in a comforter and a bedspread. And comforters, now get this, guys, this is the craziest idea in the world, but comforters are used to look at, to make a room feel warm. I want my body to feel warm. Y'all with me? I want my body to feel warm. So how many go places and they've got the comforter on the bed, but you're not allowed to use it? Who knows what I'm talking about? Am I the only guy that has that kind of stuff? Now, we use our comforters today.
That's right.
We do. We use them. If you go to motels, what do they usually do? If you had a real nice one where they put the men on the pillow, who's ever been there? Twice. Pretty cool. They come in and tuck your bed down. But you know what? The comforter, you can't use it. It's set aside. If you need an extra blanket, we'll get you a blanket. So I'm thinking, is it the same word? Is it the same word that Jesus uses here? The word comforter means console. Do you know, if you look it up, what a comforter is that goes on your bed, it's supposed to be to console you. They actually are made to be used, by the way. We just choose not to. They got extra thick stuff in them to make you extra warm. So what do you think about a comforter for just a minute? Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father to give you a comforter. Not something for your bed, but something better than that. So keep reading. He said this, He shall give you another comforter that He may abide with you, what? Why is that a big deal for those guys that night? Because if you read verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, what? The next thing He says, I, what? If He goes somewhere, does that mean they get to go too? No. Because He said, where I go, you cannot come. But He said, when I go there, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am there, you may be also, right? So Jesus says, I'm going to get you a comforter here that will be with you when? Always and forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye shall know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. You and I have the ability to have something that everybody in the world don't have. And it's not the winning Powerball ticket. I'll be honest with you. If I could have the winning Powerball ticket on Wednesday, which is supposed to be $1.3 billion, or I could have the comforter, I'll take the comforter over the $1.3 billion. You say, well, preacher, that's crazy because with $1.3 billion, I can pay people to comfort me. Not the kind of comfort that the comforter that God's going to send can give you. And I just want you to get this today. I just thought about all week long, every day, different things happen. As I walked through the hospital on Monday, Tom Crawford was there. And Brother Danny Curry was in one room. Brother Greg and him were getting ready for a funeral on Tuesday. By the time Tuesday rolled around, Mr. Terry had passed away. Brother Crawford had passed away. I'd seen both of those families. I'd prayed with both of those families. I could see just the hurt there. I was with Miss Betty at 5 o'clock on Tuesday morning before she went into surgery. Nervous, scared. Told her she might have to stay one day. It's going to be over a week before she's ever out of there. Wasn't prepared for all of this. In the meantime, we had some family trials come our way with one of our children. And today, she's still being helped. And I'm telling you what I needed this week was a comforter. Because $1.3 billion could not fix any of my problems this week. You ever had problems that money just could not fix? Do you know the big problems in our life? You'll find out if you really listen to me. The big problems in your life are not financial and have nothing to do with money. If it's in your marriage, money will never fix your marriage. It's in your health, money. I'm telling you, there's sicknesses that the best doctors in the world, R.J. Corman, had the ability to fly everywhere in the world and see every doctor in the world. He's not alive today. He's a believer. But there's some things that money cannot buy or fix. And that's why God gave us something that can help us. And we all need a comforter. That's what we need. Drop on down to verse 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, when I grew up, Brother Greg, there's so many questions I'd love to ask my grandpa and your daddy. Every day I think about things to ask older preachers. But I can remember some of the older preachers telling me, when people start talking about the Holy Spirit, you better put a caution light up. Because those people are going to be weird and crazy. Y'all ever heard anything like that? I used to hear that as a young preacher. When people, Brother God, would you hear stuff like that? When people start talking about the Holy Ghost, Do you know that the Holy Spirit is God? How bad can it be to talk about God? But we've lived in a world where people have changed the idea of what the Holy Spirit does and is behind, and they give the Holy Spirit credit for things the Holy Spirit's not doing. Go to chapter 15. I think I had a verse there as well. Verse 26, chapter 15. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall what? Testify of me. Brother Jesse, I've tried to picture what's going on in heaven. I'm trying to separate these guys in my mind, Joe. God the Father. You think they're the same? Then we get up there, there's just going to be like one. We think, do you think there's going to be one? Or are there going to be a Father and a Son and the Spirit? I think there's going to be three. I'm going to help you. Everybody's like, I'm hoping you don't ask me what I think. If it's not three, Angie, then this is a great ventriloquist act. Because Jesus talked about the Father, he talked about the Comforter, he talked about himself. And I just imagine up in heaven, Jesus said to the Father, you're great. And God said, no, you're great. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're great. And they said, no, you're great. Because you know what? They're all great because they're the same. But there's three of them. Isn't that crazy? God manifests Himself three ways. And He has throughout the Bible. And today, we feel like we got the short end of the stick because we wasn't living the same time Peter and James and John were and get to walk and talk with Jesus and ride on the boat with Him. But we got even greater, I think. We got someone who never leaves us ever. Sometimes Jesus would walk away and they'd be alone on the boat without Him. But He's never walked away from me, Brother Tommy. He's always with me. Everywhere I go, every place I've been. Whatever I'm going through, I've never been alone since He showed up in my life. That's a pretty good thing. He says in chapter 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. See, Jesus is telling those disciples now, He's getting ready to get to the garden. I think He's made it close to the garden because in chapter 15, He talks about the vine and the branches, and I think He's actually grabbing the vine and saying, I'm the vine and you're the branches. I think He showed him an olive tree and He said, here's how this all works. This is us. So I think He's getting to the place where He's going to eventually pray And in chapter 16, he tells us that this is fixing to come. And he said, it's important for you that I go away, so the Comforter will come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. He drop on down to verse 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will what? How many of you need a guide? Rochelle and I went a while back, I don't know, a few years ago. I think it was when Peggy's brother died. He was in Pennsylvania. I said, you know, while we're here, I want to see where the big battle went on at Gettysburg. I'd been to Gettysburg before and rode in one of those little buses that you ride up on top, but I don't remember nothing. And they said you can do your own guide. I thought, there's nobody knows Gettysburg better than me. I've seen all the movies. I've read the book, studied it in school. And I went into this tourist place and you buy the book and a cassette tape or a CD. And you start following the map, and this person's reading and talking. And I'm looking at this place, and I'm thinking, wow, I just can't picture this happening while the lady's talking what took place here. And realized I was one step farther than I was supposed to be in. And it didn't happen there, because I wasn't a good tour guide. But I've been with people who are good tour guides. And they said, this is what happened here. And this is what you can see there. See, a guide makes all the difference in the world. In the church in Somerset that I pastored, I had two fishing guides. They fished for stripers. I could go out on the lake, take my bait mic, and fish like a crazy man and catch nothing. I could go with those guys for 1 hour. 1 hour. First time I went for 1 hour, I'm like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm never going by myself again. They took me on a boat. I drove to Alligator Boat Dock. I met him there. I got on the boat. 20 minutes later, we were where the fish were. 45 minutes later, I pulled in a 38-inch fish. I never caught a 38-inch fish in my life. I'm holding this thing up, and I said, I'm getting this baby mounted. He said, oh no, preacher, we'll catch you a bigger one than that. We caught like 4 fish that hour. Went back, cleaned them up. And I'm like, well, this is how you fish. But you know how, because they do it every day. Every single day, that's what he does for a living. He brings people in. He knows where the fish are feeding at. He knows what they're biting today. And he takes you, and he won't guarantee he'll get on your hook, because I took Rochelle's dad, and everybody around him caught fish, but her dad never, I almost wanted to hook one and throw it for him. I mean, literally, people on each side of David, and he never got one. But they were all around him, and that's what they'll guarantee. But here's what God said, I'm going to send you someone who will guide you, not to where fish are, but to what? What did he say? He will guide you into what? All the truth. How do we know, Brother Steve, that you are the right teacher? Because you know what? I don't believe in just the Baptist way. I believe in all the other ways. How do I know you're teaching this right? Because you have a Holy Spirit that will guide you to the truth. And when I preach something that's not true, the Holy Spirit's going to tap you on the shoulder and He's going to say, uh-oh. Whoop, whoop, whoop. You know, he's a heart patient, you know, probably on medication or something. But that wasn't right. I've been in Baptist meetings, Brother Greg, and listened to Baptist preachers and had my little whoop, whoop, whoop go off. I go, oh no, that ain't right. Now there's a difference. Now listen to me. There's a difference. Well, my grandpa's a preacher, my Uncle Bill's a preacher, and I got a friend that's a preacher, and he told me this, and what you teach is wrong. That's different. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit, your guide. Because He will guide you to what? All the truth. All the truth. All right, I gotta hurry, because I don't know what happened, but I just like pitched a fit and 20 minutes went away. Let me give you 3 things real quick. The Holy Spirit, number one, will guide you to the truth. Number two, He's your helper. How many of you need a helper? A helper. What will He help me with? Well, in Romans 8, I need to read this. Give me a chance just to read this one anyway. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. God will, through His Spirit, will help you to get the right words to pray. And what to pray. Look at verse 26. Who's ever just been, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I'm going to say it anyway. Who's ever been to the point you don't even know what to pray or how to pray for it? So I'm not the only crazy person. I don't even know what to do right now. Listen to this. Verse 26. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our needs, our sicknesses, or whatever we have problems with. But we know not what we should pray for as we ought. So the writer here is Paul. He says, guess what? I've been in the same predicament you've in. Sometimes I don't even know what to pray or how to pray. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. So here's what's going on in your life. God's got a will in your life. God's got a will for the world. And God knows how you need to be praying. And the Spirit's going to lead you how to pray. And you can pray that way. When you don't know what to pray for. See, you make your own prayer list. We all do. And what's the big things on a prayer list? Like I shared with you last Sunday. The things that's on my mind right now are the big things on my prayer list. Right? Daughter. Number one on my prayer list. Daughter. Miss Kaufman's mom. Number two on my prayer list. Miss Betty's on my prayer list. But there's some things that are hurting that I don't even know what to pray or how to pray and where the hurt's even coming from. But God knows. And He said, my Spirit is going to be in there and it's going to help you. He will help you. Now I've got to read you one more because I don't want to leave you hanging on this. So go with me to John 16. And I'll quit with you here. John 16. I got a little thing, and I know why I did it now, because I knew my time. I didn't know my time was going to be like this, but I figured it out now. I put something together for read to you at the end, and now I know why. So just stay awake for that, all right? John 16, verse 8. And when He has come, who's the He? You think the Holy Spirit's a person? It's not an it. Spirit's not an it. It's a person. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. It is personable. So here He says, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So here's what I used to think about. I used to think this. God's going to send a Spirit, going to convict you, you're lost. If you do wrong, He's going to punish you for doing wrong. And He's going to lead you to be right living. That's what that means. But technically, that's not what it means. So let's read what it means. Of sin because they believe not on Me. So number one, the Holy Spirit is here. And His number one job is to fulfill God's will. And God's will is that none would perish. I shared with my Sunday school class this morning, God has a will. God has a will. And 2 Peter 3:5 says, or 3:9, God is not willing that any would perish. That's God's will. So God's will is for everybody in the world to be saved. He made a plan where everybody in the world could be saved. Does that mean everybody in the world will be saved? No. Is that His will? Yes. That's what He wants. That's His will. Your part is to find out where God's working and get involved in that so you can help see people saved. So number one, the Spirit's here to convict people of their loss. Now keep watch this. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. So I'm going to ask you a question. You all can respond. What does the word convict mean? What's the word convict mean? Not a convict like in prison, but convict. Makes you aware of your situation?
Convinced.
There you go. Thank you, Dove. $1 million answer. Convince. The Holy Spirit's job is to convince you of your lost condition. Convince you that you're a sinner. If you're not careful, you'll sit there saying, you know what? That's great. Jesus died for sinners. I'm so thankful because those murderers and those child predators, those people need Him. Guess what? All of us liars? If you're on drugs? Cussers? Anybody cuss this year? 3 people. Bless your heart. 4 people have cussed. 5 have cussed. That's good. We're working on the cussing. The rest of us just won't admit it. We just text our cuss words. I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's job is to convince me. Convince me I'm a sinner. That's His job. But also He convinces me what? Of righteousness. What is righteousness? Right living, Brother Greg, I agree with you, is part of it. But righteousness is where I stand with God. And Scott, where I stand with God today is right. I stand right with God. Because of Jesus Christ, I am right with God. See, there's a lot of people who get saved who never get that place in their life because they feel like, I just cannot live like they tell me to live at that church. You need to know this. Because of the Spirit's job, He makes sure you're convinced that you are right with God. You ever heard of a surety of salvation? That's different than security of salvation. Security is what God knows. A surety is what you know. There's a lot of people that's going to be shocked they're going to make it to heaven. I'm serious. They're going to be shocked they got there because they just didn't feel like they held out to the end, Brother Jamie. But you know what the Spirit's job is? To assure you. Paul said, I know whom I believed and persuaded, convinced that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Wow, I could almost preach now. I don't know. I got a fever, I think. Number three, judgment. And I want you to read this anyway. Boy, we got to get this one. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. You know what happened when Jesus died on the cross and He rose from the grave? Satan lost. He became a defeated foe that moment. You read 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible tells us, O grave, where's thy sting? Or death, where's thy sting? Or grave? You know what? The sting of death is what? Grave. Because I'm going to die one day, I'm going to stand with the family. My family will stand by that hoe, and they will drop me down in that hoe, and they will start covering me up with dirt. That's a pretty stingful thing. But the Bible tells us that we can have victory. Thanks be to God who gave us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, the Holy Spirit is my comfort. He's my helper. He's my friend. I put down not a weird friend. You know, I read in Hannah that 1 in 3 people are weird. Who's read that? 1 in 3 people are weird. Do this for me. Look to the right of you. Look to the left of you. Somebody's weird. I don't know. You know, you figure that out. The 1 in 3 are weird. But let me tell you what. The Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, is not weird. He don't make me wear my hair a certain way or I can have makeup or not have makeup. Come on. Y'all can nod. Sometimes people say, I got the Spirit. Can I be honest with you? They're weird. But you know what you'll find out? They were weird before they got the Spirit. I'm telling you, God's not the author of confusion. God wants to do everything decently and in order. His Spirit is in this world. And the Bible says that we were talking about this going to school the other day. I think it's Calvin and I. The Bible says you got to try the spirits. Because guess what? There's more than one spirit in this world. I'm not schooled on the demonic world. I did a little research one time on it and it scared me to death to where I just want to focus on this side of the spiritual world and let somebody else focus on that other side of the spiritual world. But I'm telling you, according to Paul in Romans or Ephesians, that spirit world is a crazy place. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers in darkness. I'm telling you, the devil is alive and well. He's got demons. Well, I think they're fallen angels. I know that's what we call them, but that's what demon warfare is, and it's all real. It's in our world. But greater is He that is in you than He's in the world. And I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit's in here, there's not a fight going on that it won't win. And I'm not worried about those battles that everybody wants to worry about. So, let me close you this way. I had so many more things, but it's over. I put down, He's my God. You know, in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. Y'all know the story. And the reason they dropped dead, the Bible says, because they sinned against the Holy Spirit. And then when Peter explained it, he said they sinned against God. So Peter said that the Holy Spirit was God. When you sinned against the Spirit, you sinned against God. Everything I'm going to read you is in the Bible. And I just took all the verses that I knew about the Holy Spirit, I just wrote them together. So you just listen, and we'll go home. The Holy Spirit intercedes through us on earth. The Holy Spirit calls and qualifies ministers for their work. It is the Holy Spirit who makes them overseers over the flock. He hears, speaks, teaches, and guides us into all the truth. He glorifies Christ. He receives from Christ. He shows us Christ. He brings all of Christ's words to our remembrance. It is better for us that Jesus left so He could come. He shows us things to come. He knows the deep things of God. He searches all things and reveals all things. Where He is, there's liberty. The writers of the Bible spoke as they were moved by Him. We are warned not to grieve Him or quench Him. The sin against Him is unpardonable. Unless a man is born of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We are convicted by Him, born again by Him, led by Him, filled with Him, and sealed by Him. Woo! That's Holy Spirit. There's a bunch of stuff in there that I have, Jamie. He's my comforter. That's a lot of stuff just for Steve to have today to walk around saying, you know what? He's got me. He's got me covered. There's things in your life you're afraid of. There's things you don't understand. You feel like you're in bondage. God says, where the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Will I make it to heaven? Just as sure as my blackberry jelly is good when I open it up and pop that lid off. I hear that little... The Bible said He's what seals me. God has sealed me, Miss Abby. Ain't that cool? I love Greg, but I'm not depending on getting to heaven on Greg's watch. God sealed me. God. No, I preach the Holy Spirit. I know. He's God. Right, Jesse? He's God. He's my friend. There's a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, that sticketh closer than a brother. Spirit of God, woo, He's right there with me. Do you got a comforter today? Do you need one? Not one for looks, you know, like the one on the bed. But I'm talking about one for use. This comforter is not for looks. This comforter is for use. Let's stand and pray. Brian, let's sing something. Heavenly Father, thank You today so much for Your Word. Thank You for the Spirit in this place. And Lord, I joke about the clock, but I have felt all kinds of liberty today. And I know that's through Your Spirit that I find that. And Your people have gathered here together with that same Spirit. And Lord, we need You today. We need You. We need some guidance for decision making. We need Your help in situations. We need Your comfort for some loss. We need some wisdom. We need some direction. Lord, we need everything that you do through Your Comforter. Thank You today for that. Have Your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.